this stuff to do. Could you please, like, tell Mary to help me? Jesus looks at Martha and he says, Martha, Martha. You know when your name is said twice, you're in trouble, right?
This is Straight Talk.
Hello, friends. You are listening to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick. I'm your host today here in the studio in Chicago. In a moment, you're going to hear from Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church, Mark Job. We are in a series titled, Christ Said, I Am. We're looking at the seven claims of Jesus about himself in the New Testament. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. Jesus said these things about himself, and really, whether or not you believe them will change everything for you. He claimed to be, in today's passage, John 11, the resurrection and the life. Today, you're going to find in the passage Jesus at a funeral of a close friend. A lot of crying, a lot of weeping and mourning, a lot of darkness and pain, and even some bitterness and anger towards God. And Jesus shows up, and he makes a very powerful claim. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live though they die, and by believing in me, you will never die. This is either true or it's false. It's either a fairy tale or it's the reality. It's either a lie or the truth. This claim changes everything about your eternity, everything about your future reality, and that, my friend, will change the way you live right now. For those of you who are looking at the future and you're not sure about what lie ahead for us, today's message is going to be a powerful, powerful encouragement to you. And our prayer is that you would come to know the Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus of Scriptures, the one who claims to be the resurrection and the life. Here's Pastor Mark Job in John chapter 11.
Timing. On my honeymoon, Dee and I were able to get away on a trip. And I was really poor, but I had saved up for a while and I got tickets so I could fly over to Spain. I didn't have any money once we got there, but I flew over to Spain. And the day came when we had to fly back and I misread the ticket. I thought it said 1 o'clock, but in reality it said 10 o'clock. And I had a couple hour drive. And so when I went to go there, I realized we're never going to make it. And I missed my flight coming back. Bad timing. Have you ever showed up somewhere late and felt like, I missed it. I should have been there. I missed the start of the movie. Now I don't even know what the movie's about. Jesus, in this passage, is wrestling with people that feel like he has bad timing. And I want you just to read it with me because there's some powerful principles here that I believe that all of us can learn from and grasp. In John chapter 11, it says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one who you love is sick. Now you remember Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, right? They were brothers and sisters. Martha was the oldest, then Mary, I believe Lazarus was the youngest. And so two sisters, one brother. Jesus hung out with this family quite a bit. Every time he was in the town of Bethany, which was 2 miles outside of Jerusalem, he would drop into their house and they would give him a place to stay. Several times in Scripture, it's mentioned that Jesus was at Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' house. They hosted him. You may have friends like that, that you're in town. They're always willing to, hey, here's a sleeping bag. We have an extra bed. No problem. Drop by. We can always cook up a little extra food where you feel at home, right? And there's certain places where you go there, you feel at home. You don't have to feel like, hey, this is a special gift. We have to pretend to be somebody else. No, you just let down your hair. You feel at home. Jesus was in one of those houses. He knew Lazarus well. He knew Martha and Mary well, had spent time with them. Do you remember the story where Jesus was at their house and Martha was making all the preparations because Jesus was there? And Mary was just sitting there listening to Jesus. And so as Mary was so busy about her stuff, Martha, like many older sisters, how many older sisters do we have here? Yeah, seems like the older sisters always have to take on a little more responsibility. They're always a little bit more aware of what's going on. And so Martha's running around doing all these things she has to do. And she looks over, and while little sweat's trickling down her forehead and she's getting the platters ready and all the food, she looks over and Mary's just sitting there. Typical younger sister. And she says to Jesus, "Jesus! I got all this stuff to do. Could you please tell Mary to help me?" Jesus looks at Martha and he says, "Martha, Martha." You know when your name is said twice, you're in trouble, right? "Martha, Martha, you are worried and preoccupied by so many things, but Mary is doing just one thing. And that one thing is the only needed thing." And what was Mary doing? Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his words. And sometimes we get so busy doing the things, sometimes we get so busy making the preparations that we miss the heart of what really is going on and haven't heard the words of Jesus. So Mary was much more of a worshiper, sitting back, listening. Martha was much more of a doer. But we have that story in Scripture. It also tells us that Mary was the one that poured perfume on Jesus and then wiped his feet with her hair. In John chapter 12, we have that story where Mary actually breaks up a flask of perfume and pours it on Jesus and then wipes Jesus' feet with her hair. And one of the disciples gets all uptight about it and says, "Hey, how come we're spending so much money? That was a waste. I mean, this was very expensive perfume. Why are we wasting it there?" Of course, it was Judas saying that, who was really the one that eventually sold Jesus out. So Jesus knew this family well. He's about 25 miles away. Someone runs to Jesus and he gets word that Lazarus is sick. And he does something very unusual. Listen what it says. When he hears the news that Lazarus is sick, they said, "Lord, the one who you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Verse 5. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Hold on, pause a second. Doesn't that seem like a strange reaction? You hear that someone that you really love is sick, and instead of running to their bedside, you just stay where you're at for 2 more days? I remember when my father got sick and we found out that he was in ICU. This was about 15 years ago. That I called my brother Bob up right away and I said, "Hey Bob, Dad's sick. He's in the hospital. We need to get there fast." And he was in a hospital in northern Spain. And so we scrambled around to get tickets. It happened to be when the federal government was closed for about a week. Do you remember that? About 15 years ago, they shut down all the federal government because they couldn't balance the budget. And my passport was expired. And the only place to issue passports is the federal government. And so I got to the airport. I found out my passport was expired. I had to come back. I made so many phone calls because I wanted to be there. In fact, I had to call Washington to try to get my passport. God did a miracle. They opened up the office, the passport office, for me. When I walked in, the guy said, "Man, we opened up this office for you. You must have high connections." I said, "You don't even know my connections up there. I'm really high. High. High." I got my passport. I made it. I made it all the way to Spain. And thank God I was able to be with my father a week before he passed away. But I rushed there. Did everything I could to get there. And I'm looking at Lazarus and Jesus, and Jesus hears that his friend is very sick, and instead of rushing to his side, Jesus waits two more days. If you're taking notes this morning, I want you to jot this down. Listen, this is really important. I'm talking about timing and resurrection power. God's timing is not always your timing or my timing. So write this down. Number one, God will often delay intervention until the timing is right for his move. Have you discovered that God's watch and your watch aren't synced together? Have you discovered that sometimes you think, well, God, this is a good place to show up, and he doesn't? And then later on, he shows up at another time? Have you realized that sometimes it seems like God is late, but he never is? And sometimes it seems like he should have come a half hour ago, but God never misses his cues and never misses his timing. The problem is that our clock and God's clock are not synced together. I love what it tells us in Isaiah. Isaiah talking about understanding the ways of God and the purposes of God. He says, "For my thoughts," Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. God is saying, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." God says, "Hey, what I think you can't even dream of thinking. And my ways are not always your ways. You think the best thing is to go this way. God says, you don't understand it, but I'm going to take it another way. For as high as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." In essence, what God is saying is my ways and my thoughts are, my plans are so much higher that from your perspective, they may not make sense, but I always have a plan, I always have a purpose, and it always makes sense ultimately because God's ways are higher than our ways. It didn't make sense that Jesus was waiting 2 days, but Jesus had a plan. He had a purpose. He knew what he was doing. He was waiting till all the pieces came together before he made his move. In fact, do you realize that later on it tells us that Jesus actually showed up 4 days after Lazarus had died? He waited 2 days, and then it took him 2 days to get back to Bethany. So that by the time that Jesus showed up, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Now you wonder why. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly why Jesus showed up 4 days late. But in the Jewish tradition, when someone had, they would mourn people for several days. And after the third day of mourning in the grave, it was almost like official, he's dead, never to be resuscitated again. It's beyond hope.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled, "I Am the Resurrection and the Life." It's from Pastor Mark's series called CSI, Christ Said, I Am. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of John chapter 11. Tonight's message is called, "I Am the Resurrection and the Life."
I believe that sometimes God lets things get beyond hope. God lets things get to such a critical point in our life where we think there's no solution to this. Because it's then sometimes that his power will be manifest. Sometimes it's only in the fourth day. All hope is gone. It's never going to change. Nothing can help now. The fourth day. The body stinks already. The people have given up already. It's the fourth day. Secondly, I want you to jot this down. Not only does God's timing not always match our own, and God waits to intervention until his timing is right, But secondly, God moves when his power is most able to increase the faith of many. Notice what it says in verse 7. So after he had waited for 2 days, then Jesus turns to his disciples that are with him and he says, let's go back to Judea. In other words, the timing is right. Now let's go. Verse 8. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews were trying to stone you, and yet you're going back there? You see, just earlier, in a couple earlier chapters, we read that they tried to kill Jesus in right around Jerusalem in Bethany because he was claiming to be God, and so they were out to kill him. And so to go back there was almost to go back to the mouth of the lion, where people are conspiring to kill you. So his disciples were like, Jesus, are you sure you want to go back? I mean, this place is dangerous. I'm not sure you want to go there. People are looking to kill you. Then Jesus answers in verse 9, are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by the world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light. What is Jesus saying? Jesus knew that that no one could take his life before his time was up. I love that. That no one could take his life before his time was up, that there was 12 hours, that he had time to accomplish the work of the Father, and that his time to die had not yet come. So therefore, Jesus says, I can go back there, don't worry, because God still has work for me to do, and God is not going to take me until my work is completed and done. So I have no worry about that. I'm going to do the work of God while the light is there. When darkness comes, then it's another story. Verse 11, after he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. Now, when he said that his friend Lazarus had fallen asleep, his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. But Jesus had been speaking about his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Now, it's interesting in Scripture that sometimes when a believer dies, the Bible talks about the believer sleeping. In Corinthians, it says, and some fall asleep. Jesus said, Lazarus is asleep. What he really meant is that Lazarus is dead. But it's interesting that oftentimes when it's referring to believer, it calls it sleep. Why? Because as believers, we wake up again. So when we die, our body may be gone and you take it and you put it in the grave, but our spirit is just getting ready for its resurrection. It'll wake up with new power, might, glory. So when he says he sleeps, it's saying, hey, just taking a nap because he's going to wake up and he's going to wake up in a better place, a different place. It's resurrection power. So the disciples finally realize, okay, Lazarus is dead. And then I want you to see what he says in verse 14 because this is really important. Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there. Jesus says, Lazarus has died, but I'm glad I wasn't there when he was still alive and just sick. Why? Listen, so that you may believe. You see, if Jesus would have been there when Lazarus first got sick and started getting sick and then he prayed for him, people would have heard about it, but it wouldn't have had an impact because they would have thought, well, maybe he would have gotten better on his own. It's interesting that as far as I know, no one ever died in the presence of Jesus. As far as I know in Scripture, there was no one that ever died while Jesus was there. Why? Jesus is the light. He is the life. He's the resurrection power. So no one seemed to ever die in front of Jesus. If Jesus would have been there, he would have prevented Lazarus' death. But Jesus said, I'm glad I wasn't there. Why? Because it had to reach the fourth day. It had to get so bad that people thought there is no hope. It had to get so bad that people understood only God can do something here. He didn't get well because suddenly his body kicked in and the white blood cells and the red blood cells started fighting and he overcame his sickness. Oh, he didn't get well because his fever was broken or because he had a little chicken soup. No. It had to be the power of God manifest. And Jesus said, I'm glad I wasn't there because since I wasn't there, now you're going to be able to believe. You're going to see my power in a stronger way. Listen, some of you wonder, why did it have to get so bad? There's some of you that wonder, why did I have to get to the fourth day? There's some of you that came to God because you hit the fourth day. Beyond hope. No one could think you would turn around. People had given up. They're never going to change. It was a dark, dark moment. You see, some of us have to reach the fourth day. It has to get so bad. Because when it's so bad, then you understand that it's only God that can change you. It's only God that can save you. Only God that can heal. It wasn't just that you got a little better and people say, well, I think he would have got better on his own. No. It was God that did it. And no one can argue with the fact that it's the miraculous power of God that did it. It's the fourth day. And Jesus sometimes waits until it gets so bad that people's faith can believe it was God who did it and no one else did it. And that's why he said, I'm glad I wasn't there for your sakes so that you may believe. You see, the harder we fall, the greater the resurrection power. The deeper our valley, the more God's power is manifest. The longer our situation lingers, then the greater people know this was God and not just you turning around, not just you improving yourself. It had to be God. The fourth day. Verse 16, then Thomas, oh, you remember Thomas, don't you? He's the Eeyore of the group. We're never going to make it. They're going to kill us. Thomas called Didymus, that word Didymus means twin. So they called Thomas twin. Now, some people believe that church tradition says that they called Thomas twin because he looked a lot like Jesus. Now, whether that was true or not, I don't know, but some tradition says that Thomas looked a lot like Jesus, and so because he was similar in appearance, they called him twin. And that would make sense here. So Thomas, called twin, said to the rest of the disciples, let us go that we may all die. He's thinking, hey, they're looking to kill you, Jesus. I look like you, Jesus. I'm hanging around. What if they kill me thinking it was you? I'm not sure. All right, let's go. Let's go to our death. Number three. Not only, I'm talking about the timing of God. Not only will God often delay intervention until timing is right for him to move. God moves when his power is most able to increase the faith of many. Number three, God allows us to wrestle with circumstances to bring breakthrough revelation to our life. There are certain lessons you'll never learn until you get desperate. There are certain breakthroughs you'll never have until you go through a crisis.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called CSI, Christ Said I Am. Tonight was the first half of his message called I Am the Resurrection and the Life. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find other helpful tools to help you in your walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's book, called Unstuck, is also available for just $10 plus shipping. If you're looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations in and around Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself tonight. Thank you so much for listening. Please do join us again on the next Straight Talk as we continue our message called I Am the Resurrection and the Life. God bless.